think. Sorry. All right. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Well, let me. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this day, this time we come together. Lord, we come to you as people who know you, who know you as our Lord and who know us as our God. We can always come to you, and we just thank you for these songs we sing, the promises we remember of your grace and your love. Help us to think about them, remember them, because it's your truth that is in these songs, the truth of the gospel, the truth of your word, the scriptures. Help us to take in these promises, believe them, and live as obedient people, surrender to you. God, thank you that you always show us how to live, and thank you for just the love we can show one another as a part of that, lifting one another up in prayer. And we do so just gladly because we remember what you've done for us. You know every need, everything, and we just want to be remembering these throughout the week, praying for one another, and in relationship with one another, continuing to offer encouraging words, words of wisdom that are led by you, actions that are led by love. We want to remember one another. We want to be people who always remember you, Jesus. Always rely on you and become more and more like who you want us to be. Father, this is your word. Help us in this time as we hear from it. Help us all to handle your word. Help us to live in obedience to it in the way that you want us to, God. Whatever that looks like in each of our lives individually, because we know that it's your word, your living word spoken to us, and you want us to honor you, live for you, worship you, and that's why we're here this morning. That's why we exist, is for you. And if anyone has never made a decision for you, Jesus, to put their faith in you for salvation, I pray work in their hearts so that they may do so and begin the work of transforming as they hear from your word, as they put it into practice. Lord, we thank you that you always are with us, and you're with us now. Be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. So, as we get started here, we're going to be in John 15. But before I read, how do we bear fruit as Christians? It's the question we want to be thinking about. How do we bear fruit? Part of this is meditation. Meditation is a very important thought that we will have in our minds for the sermon this morning. And it is an important word. We have to meditate on the scriptures. We could easily think of Joshua 1:8, which says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." According to Richard Foster in his book, Celebration of Discipline, Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey his word. There are many worldly ideas of meditation. Meditation is not an emptying of our minds. It is the ability to hear God's word, hear his voice. So we have to hear. Our minds have to be filled with that. And that will in turn help us to be obedient. So there are other scriptures we can meditate on. Psalm 40, verse 2 to 3. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Doing this leads to our transformation. It also leads to evangelism, as we want to point others to Jesus Christ for their salvation and transformation. And so for our passage this morning, we're going to be in John 15, verse 9 to 17. And as we read, as we go through the scripture, we will focus on encouragement and motivation. For encouragement, Romans 15:4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Motivation, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And now for our passage. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Point number one, the constants of God's love. Verse 9, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Letter A, the Father's love is eternal. Everything God does is eternal. God loves the Son.
Jesus loves us. And when we think about the love of Jesus, we think about God's love. It is eternal. Those whom God has loved, he has loved for all eternity. It's not as though one day God decided to love you. God has loved you if you have believed in Christ, if you are following him, if you're his child. That means he's loved you from before the beginning. This is for those who will believe, all of them, God's chosen people, he has loved them from before the beginning.
And so we can see the benefit of God's, how he does not change, how his love is eternal. What if you were to wake up, let me ask you this, what if you were to wake up every morning and the first thing you did was remind yourself of Jesus' love for you? This is something that we could easily say. This is something we could easily hear and just go on with our day, with our lives. But what if we were to just stop, think about it, process it, take it to heart?
that will help us to live in reliance on Him. And so we read again in verse 9, Jesus says, "Now remain in my love." Other versions say abide. J.C. Ryle gives us a good definition for this word. And he writes, "To abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant, close communion with Him. To be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our fountain of life and strength, as our chief companion and best friend. To have His words abiding in us is to keep His sayings and precepts continually before our memories and minds, and to take them, and to make them the guide of our actions and the rule of our daily conduct and behavior." We have a part in this. This leads us to consider, letter B, the great promises of love. Verse 10 again, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. We must be actively seeking to obey God's commands. This is Jesus' main requirement of Christians. John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are always free to obey and not sin. God is free to bless us and encourage us. Let's bring all this together for our lives today. It really does help us, I think, when we consider obedience in light of our need to rely on the Lord. This leads us to point number 2, Bible meditation and kingdom fruit. Again, we think of Joshua 1:8, and keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. See, that's the purpose, is to meditate on it day and night, for the purpose, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We have to hear and do. We have to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, in reliance on the Lord. There are many, again, other verses we could think about. "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." Thinking about the Lord's love, thinking about how it never fails us, never changes. Psalm 104:34, "May my meditation be pleasing to Him as I rejoice in the Lord." So this, we have to take these scriptures. We could take one scripture at a time. We ought to take just a little bit at a time, because scripture is powerful. We take it and we read it and we think deeply about it. This is the only way to meditate, and we do it to please God. Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is another scripture that we hear a lot. Do we take the time to think about it? That is meditation. Do we take the time to not just read it, not just hear it, not even just repeat it, but do we take the time to slow down and read it and think about it? Afterwards, do we plan to do what it says? Are our actions always glorifying to God? Are our thoughts always glorifying to God? When we meditate, we are engaging our minds with God's thoughts. It must be followed with actions. Christian meditation is a discipline that we should celebrate. This is something that is done very little. I think it is easy, if we're honest, I think it is for us to hear Scripture, for us to consider God's Word, but forget to meditate on it. It's easy to just hear a set of verses and go on with our day, but again, we have to think about what we hear, think deeply about it, process it. And so it is very important that we do this because it is an important way to praise God. That's the point, that's the purpose, praising God. This will lead to letter A, a life of complete joy. Verse 11 in our text again, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Paul gives us insight into the complete life. Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. The world will always draw us away from a close fellowship with God. People seek a complete life in many different ways. These ways are man-centered and not God-centered. I think it is easy for us in our modern day, where there is a lot of information, there is a lot of, in our lives, responsibilities, to be, it's an easy habit, I think, for us to shift from one thought to another very rapidly. Our attention spans may be very short. I think it's easy for that to be the common occurrence. And so this is something, meditation is something very different, I think, than what we're used to. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we allowing of the world to draw us in? What are we allowing to distract us? And we should always remember how we are to approach the Lord. We understand that Jesus did not have to lay down his life for us. He chose to out of love. And so we can approach God knowing that. We can approach God knowing he did not have to lay down his life for us. He did it out of love. And if you think of that last hymn we sang, we should always run to Jesus. Jesus strong is kind. This is his heart for us. This is his heart. In a world where there are distractions, there are temptations, there are trials, we can always know, here's Jesus, ready for us, ready to, ready with love. That's, as Christians, that's what we have available to us always, is his, this relationship with the Lord. And this is what we invite others who have not believed in the Lord Jesus to receive through faith. So, and we can think about how Jesus laid down his life for us.
We could think of ourselves.
We may die for someone we like.
We may die for someone we care very much about.
But Jesus died for sinners.
He died for us when we by no means deserved it. He died for us when we were going astray. We had no love for him. We had nothing. There was nothing about us that desired the Lord. But he loved us
at our worst. Jesus gave his life for those who were called. And so we can think of Jesus in this way.
We can think of Jesus as
as Christians, we can think of him, as the text says, as a friend. We are to do that. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Being a friend takes dedicated time. Verse 15, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Philippians 2:1. Again, when we go back to that passage, when we just read about being united with Christ, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, what is that mean when we're united with Christ? It means that the result of being united with Christ is us being his slaves and him being our master, our Lord. This is a calling we accept, being united with Christ in this way, because point number three, Jesus chose you to bear kingdom fruit. This is our most glorious privilege. It is also our most humbling. And when we think about what joy that we can have when we consider Jesus died for me when I didn't deserve it, it's also very humbling because, well, we didn't deserve it. But when we put these two ideas together, it motivates, it helps us to respond to God's amazing love. And God is always expecting a response from us.
He has done his part in our lives.
He has done his part.
We remember Easter, where we think about how Jesus rose again and appeared to his disciples. And they looked at his nail-scarred hands. They looked at his feet. We've read about that, and we can remember that today. And we still want to remember what the Lord has done for us. We want to sing about that as we've been doing.
So God has done his part. Now we are to do our part by responding to him. We live this out practically by knowing and believing that we are called to live as a community of believers. This community is set up by Jesus.
This is his calling. All of us are here as believers because God called us.
Verse 16 in our text, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Ephesians 1:4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love." The passage goes on there, but he chose us for the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. But here the expression, go and bear fruit, reminds us of the Great Commission in which Jesus commanded us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You think of go and bear fruit, go and make disciples. We bear fruit by our witness of living for Christ. We look for opportunities, and I think as we consider our prayer list, as we, you know, our praise list, we have opportunities to do that. We think of Memorial Day tomorrow. There are opportunities to talk about the sacrifice of Christ, and we think about the sacrifice that others have made, and we want to be thankful, and we want to consider Christ, his sacrifice. And that can be, this can be a great opportunity to talk about that, because the theme of sacrifice is very much talked about during this season, this time. So let her be, what will motivate us to express love? We all need motivation. We all need motivation that is from God. We need godly motives. Then we need motivation from each other. We need each other. As believers, as a community, we come together this morning. This is what we need. It's very encouraging when we can come together and pray for one another. We can talk with one another. Verse 17 in our text, this is my command, love each other. What is godly motivation in our lives? We've thought a lot about motivation, and we consider Proverbs 16:2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So, how do we have the right motives? We can think about the scripture. We can think about the need to meditate. We can think about the need to be in God's word daily, continuing to read it, continuing to understand it. We do that during Bible study when we come together. We talk about the scriptures, what they are taught. They are studied so that we know the meaning of it. And they are taught so that others can understand them and better live them out. There are opportunities like Brianna's Hope where people come in to hear the scriptures so that they may learn the truth about addiction and the truth about God's grace, and so that they may live in relationship with the Lord, spending lives in his word to live a transformed life. These are opportunities. And meditation is something that all of us, I think, we should learn to put into practice in our lives. And perhaps this is something we have well established already. You know, we can understand that we're still learning, even if we've been doing this for a long time. Scripture is always so full of meaning and grace because it's God's word. God always helps us to live in obedience to him. So where does all this lead us? Your closing question. The quality of your Christianity is measured by your love and prayers for fellow believers. Where can you improve your faithfulness to Jesus by serving others? And this is the question that we will end with.
All of Jesus, all of Jesus. Jude 24, 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Father, thank you for this day, just for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your word, how rich it is. Thank you for this love relationship we have with you. Wherever we are, we know that you are right there with us, and you help us to live obediently to you, God. Help us this week as we continue to consider you, Jesus, and what you've done for us. Consider your word. And consider others to point them to you, Lord. God, all we say and do, we do in gratitude for what you've done and for you, your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Have a good week, guys.